I wonder this morning, are you the kind of person who needs to be in control? Anybody that likes to be in control, stick up your hand. Is it just me? Anybody else like being in control? There's a few people, isn't there, that like being in control. Are you the kind of person to control that you like to control every aspect or detail in your life? Or perhaps it's just maybe just one thing. Perhaps it might be something like this. You like to control where you shop. There's a specific shop you like to go to. Perhaps it's who drives the car. You have this sense of needing to drive your car. Perhaps it's you decide who plans the holiday because you know that you've got to go to a certain place, got to go to this place, and I've just got to be able to do this, 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 and this. Or perhaps you're the one who controls perhaps how much money that you spend. Or are you happy to let other people take control? Do you like being in control, or few of us do? Or do you like it, or are you happy for other people to be in control because you know they're going to do a good job and you're quite happy to give it over to them? Although I wouldn't class myself this morning as someone as a control freak, I would say that there are elements in my life in which I like to be in control. And one of those areas that I like to be in control, I don't know if you're anything like me, but I like to be in control of the car. Don't know if there's anybody else who likes being in control of the car, but I like being in control of the car, to be able to just have responsibility for that. And Erica will tell you that I have to be in control. And I would say, and she would admit to this too, I am not a great passenger. I am not a great passenger. So much so that if I am in the car with somebody, if I see something which is a potential hazard or danger, I will do one of three things and possibly all three of these. I will grab the side armrest of the passenger door and grip it with all my might. I will pretend that I have a pedal that is the brake pedal, and I will slam my foot down as hard as I can. And I don't know why I do this, but thirdly, I turn my face away, close my eyes, and just hope that everything will be okay. And fourthly, I do occasionally shout, "Erica, look out!" I like being in control. So much so, about a week ago, I was in my friend's car, and I was sitting there, and I was on the way home from the expo. It happened. There was just something that looked close. It looked to me like he didn't know that there was a car in front of suddenly braked. So there I am, imaginary brake foot down, close my eyes, grab the passenger seat, and just go and open my eyes, and it was fine. Fortunately, I did not shout at my friend. I don't think I would have lived it down. If I told you who the friend was, he'd been here before, he would laugh at me and never let me live it down. But I am not the greatest of passengers. I don't know what you need control over. But you get the kind of picture of the passenger that I am. And I know what you're thinking now about me as a passenger. Never ask Pastor Steve to come in your car to be a passenger. I'm sure I will be fine because I'm sure it's not about anybody driving. It's not about anybody's skill. It's just the fact I feel like I need to be in control. I feel like I need to be the one that sees the dangers and is just in case anything unexpected happens. I wonder, do you ever find yourself struggling, needing to be in control? It might not be driving, although it might be. But what about being in control of those finances? What about being in control of the TV remote? That used to be something in my household, and it's something that happens in my father-in-law's household. When I'm in my father-in-law's household, he's in control of his remote control. Unfortunately, when I'm in my household, it's usually the kids that are in control of the TV remote, and I don't really get a look. But But maybe you're the kind of person that likes to be in control of the TV remote. Perhaps it's planning holidays, as we said before. Perhaps it's planning the future so you're ready for any kind of eventuality. Getting yourself ready, being prepared, being in control. I guess every one of us, from time to time, or whether it be on a more frequent basis, have moments when we want to be in control. Whether it's because when we're in control, it makes us feel at peace, and it gives us that kind of security. We think, or perhaps it might be because we think we know best. Is there anyone here who thinks at times we know best? Or perhaps we don't trust others to do something perhaps as well as we might do. The thought of someone else being in control can be a big deal, a really big deal. It can cause anxiety and fear for some of us. It can cause insecurity, and at times it might just be as simple as the feeling of denting our pride that we can't be in control. And perhaps it's that feeling of we're not in control and we're not getting what we want, and therefore that makes life frustrating. Now, the dictionary defines control in this way, as being the power to influence or direct a person's behaviour or the course of events. In society, where many of the situations we see going on in our world, I don't even need to mention the stuff that's been going on this week, but you would be able to say, wouldn't we, that there are so many things going on in our world, in the UK and abroad, that we just have no control over. And so perhaps that makes it even more so that we want control over the things we can have control over. Because we know, well, if I control it, I know that's in my control. I've got my finances in control, that I'm in control of that. But the problem is that the question I want to ask us is this, is being in control of our own lives really the best use? Is it best for us to be in control of ourselves, or is there someone or something that would be better for us to allow to be in control? If you have your Bibles, which you do, Romans 8, I'm sure we're there now, because we've had plenty of time to find that. But Romans 8, we're going to be reading some verses from verse 5 to through to verse 17 of Romans chapter 8. Verse 5 starts like this. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you've not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in His glory, we must also share His suffering. May God bless His word to our hearts as we continue to look at this scripture. So last week we started the series simply entitled Romans chapter 8. It's a new three-part series, and last week we looked at the subject of no condemnation. And we looked at if we belong to Jesus, if we're a part of His family, we've been forgiven. forgiven and therefore we are not condemned. But the issue is that often as believers we can still live as if we are condemned. You see, condemnation is a lie of the enemy, and he uses it to keep people bound in the past. But because of Jesus' sacrifice, not only are we forgiven, which is a great thing, but the power of condemnation has been broken through Jesus' sacrifice. We can live in freedom from condemnation, and we can do this if we learn to stand on God's word. And if you missed that first part of the series, then it's online on our website. You can also find it on the Facebook page. Do take a listen to that, because these kind of follow on from each other. So this morning in part two, I want to ask us the question. So if you're making a note, write this down as the main question. And it is this. Who's in control? Who's in control? Who's in control of your life? Who's in control? Now, you might have an answer to that already. You might be able to write that down. You might need to think about that a little bit more. Who makes decisions and why? The Apostle Paul tells us from our reading that we've just read that there are two possible answers, only two possible answers to this question. Every one of us has a choice to make as to which way we will follow. Will we choose to be controlled by ourselves and by that sinful nature, or will we choose to be controlled by God and led by His Spirit? Two choices that you have. Multiple choice, well, double choice. Will you be controlled by your own desires and what you want, or will you be controlled by what God wants and by the leading of His Spirit? Now, one of these leads to fulfillment, and one of these leads to unfulfillment. So option one, let's look at that first. Let's look at your control, my control. If we live our lives controlled by ourselves and by our own natures. Every one of us has the choice to be in control of our own lives, to make our own decisions, to be the leader of our lives. You know better than everyone else what you need. That's what the world would say. So why shouldn't you be in charge? It's what the world encourages. So surely that's the best way, to be in control ourselves. But is it? Is it the best way? Verse 5 of our reading starts by saying this. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. What does this mean? What's Paul trying to say? Most people that we meet on the street would not think by taking charge of their own lives and making the most of it would they think that they're being sinful. In fact, they probably wouldn't really even understand what sin is at all. It's just normal to them, the way that they live their lives. Now, we learned last week, we looked at that sin are those things that we do wrong that goes against God's perfect standards. Those things that would put other things, anything that would go above God as number one is kind of a sin. It's those things that take us away from God's heart. It's doing things for our own purposes, our own desires, to make ourselves feel good. Me before everything else, that me culture. Me, me, me. I want, I need, because I want to feel satisfied. At its core, sin is selfish, because it's all about you. Now, sin came into the world because of two people, Adam and Eve. And they decided that they wanted control. And they thought that they knew what was best for them rather than the God who created them and tell them what they should do. They thought best after being tempted by the serpent. They thought, actually, I like the look of being in control myself and knowing all things. And so, as we know, they made that choice. And as a result, sin entered the world and Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. And Adam's and Eve's actions ultimately have meant that humanity ever since has been born into sin and with that same nature of wanting what we want, going against what God would have. Romans 3:23 puts it like this, that all, that means every single one of us, have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Our nature is sinful. We all want our own way. We are inherently selfish. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says it like this so well. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Our natural inclination is to want to be in control and do things that please ourselves. And because our nature is naturally sinful, it's no surprise. Therefore, when verse 4-5 tells us that we will think about sinful things, it's those things that are contrary to God's way. It's easy, very easy, just to think that we know best. It's very easy to just want to follow our sinful nature. But if we choose to please ourselves and follow our sinful nature, we've got to understand, as I'm sure you are aware, but it's good to be reminded, that there are consequences. Verse 6 says, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. What does Paul mean? Well, Paul's using the death as an analogy to describe those who are controlled by the sinful nature. Nothing good can come from those who live for their sinful nature. It has no purpose. It has no focus. There's no hope. It's a journey that heads nowhere and will only ever really lead to disappointment and a feeling of emptiness and never being satisfied. That's why you see it in the world so much. There's people always driving for the next thing. You know, that next possession, that next car, that next amount of money, that next relationship. Because they're looking for a satisfaction in the things of the world that will never bring it. Because the sinful nature is contrary to what God wants. And true fulfillment can only be found in God. The things of the world promise much, but deliver nothing. And actually what it will do, if anything, is lead you further away from the promises of God. Why? Well, verse 7 sums it up when it says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws and it never will. The devil, your enemy, will do everything in his power to stop you from getting close to God and being in relationship with him. Your sinful nature is hostile to God because it wants exactly the opposite to what God wants. Have you ever wondered why fighting temptation is so difficult? It's because it goes contrary to what God wants for you. It might feel exciting, but it leaves you with a really sour taste. You were built for a relationship with God. You weren't built to continue to live in our sinful natures. If sin wasn't enticing or exciting, then no one would do it. But it is always selfish and it's always self-seeking. Think about those things that you see in the world, or perhaps the things that you see in your life, perhaps at moments when you let God down. And I guarantee that it will all be about you. And it will be about self and what you think that you can get. It's always selfish. It's never for anybody else. It's always about self. Some people may suggest, or perhaps you've had this thinking previously, or perhaps you have it now, some people may wish to suggest that it's possible to know Jesus, but to still live the way you did before you came to know him. But that's just not the case. There are teachings out there that say that. But verse 8 of our reading says, those who are still under control of the sinful nature can never please God. If you're under the control of your sinful nature, if you're allowing yourself just to do the things that you used to do before you came to know God, then you're not pleasing God. You can't please God. It goes against what he wants for us. It doesn't matter whether we believe in Jesus. If we choose to do things that go with our sinful nature, whatever good you do, however well intentioned you are, you'll never please God. And that's actually kind of sad for all of us if we ever find ourselves in those positions. That we can have all of, can do all the good things, but if we are purposely living contrary to what God says, you won't please him. And it is sad. Because God wants to have that all-encompassing, that interactive, that beautiful, deep and intimate relationship with you. But if we choose to live to our sinful desires, then we will not get the full picture. Yes, you are, if you've accepted Jesus, your salvation is assured, but you miss out on so much. And think about this for a moment. When Jesus died, he died for you. It cost him everything. And by choosing to live to our sinful nature, we're kind of pouring, it makes our, what Jesus done, it almost makes it seem like we don't really care. And that's not a good place to be in for any of us. We want to be in a place where we honour Jesus for what he's done. We don't want to demean his sacrifice, which is the word I'm looking for. We don't want to demean what he's done by choosing to continue to follow our sinful nature. By putting ourselves in control, by going by what we used to do. Because the truth is, if we choose to go that way, it's very easy to go back. Very easy to go back to the way it was. We don't want that, and I'm sure you don't want that. I wouldn't want that for any of us. Romans 6, verse 15 to 16 puts it this way. Well, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realise that you became the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. You can't live in both worlds and hope to live a fulfilled life, because they are in opposition to each other. Galatians 5:17 puts it slightly different way. It says this: the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Will you choose today to just live in control of your own life, being opening yourself to the sinful nature? Or will you choose option two? Will you choose to be controlled by the Spirit? This is the complete opposite to being controlled by the sinful nature. And it's not a bad thing to be controlled by God's Spirit. People might say, well, you know, you should be in control of your own life. Why would you give it to something else? But But God has so many good things for you and for me. He wants you to be controlled by His Spirit, led by His Spirit. Is a better phrase, being led into the places because He's got the best things for you. Verse 5 says these words, those who are controlled by the Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If you choose to allow the Holy Spirit to control every area of your life, the first thing you'll notice is you start thinking about things that please God. What pleases His Spirit? Well, these are the things that kind of please God's Spirit. So if we choose to start thinking about those things, and this is the place to start, is having a heart that fears God. Having a respect and a reverent fear of who God is and what He's done for us. Not taking anything for granted. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it will rest satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. What else do we need? Those things that please the Spirit are being obedient. Being obedient to God. It's not just about knowing what to do, but it's about making sure that we do it. Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Thirdly, having faith. Having faith. Believing in God and trusting Him in the circumstances you face, from the small to the big. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Having faith, believing that God has got great things for you, believing that He's going to lead and to guide you. Submit. Being willing to submit every area of your life into His hands, not holding anything back. Because I think this is probably one of the situations that we have most of. Is it's not necessarily that we find ourselves completely living to our sinful nature, but there's certain things that we take control of and that we don't allow God to have full access to. And so we can have like 95% of our lives with God in control, but that 5% we keep that for ourselves, but that 5% is the thing that stops us from truly living for the things of God, truly seeing things happen. We need to submit. As 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time He will exalt you. Submit every area of your life. And finally, service. Service, that's what's required for us to be thinking in the right way. Because you service, we understand that God has done so much for us. We want to serve Him in return and tell others about the hope we found. Hebrews 13:16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The second thing, that letting the Spirit lead you, is that it will control your mind and it will lead to life and peace. You give your life over to Christ wholeheartedly and you will have a life of peace. It will lead you to life and peace, not to death. We live in a world, don't we, that is filled with so much drama, turmoil, tragedy, pain, loss, evil and selfishness. But even in the midst of all these things that go on and the things that we face, we can find life and peace. I don't know about you, but I like the idea of having peace. I like the idea of having a full life. Love the words from Philippians 4 verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, tell your request to God. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And Jesus said to His disciples in John 14:27, just before He ascended back to heaven, He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Peace. We can be at peace knowing that God is leading and guiding. But we need to focus our eyes on Him and to make the choice to say, God, I submit to you and actually I want you in control. with the Spirit in control of our lives, will incline to a life that brings so much joy and purpose that goes beyond anything that we'll be able to experience without Him. John 10, verse 10. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. If those things weren't enough to know about, kind of letting God be in control, we're seeing that we have a life of peace and joy. Verse 10 and 11 tells us that the Spirit of God lives in you. In you. Christ lives within you. And that same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Let those words just sink in for a little moment. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You are filled with life-giving power. If we've accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we've been given the power we need, and is the key, to fight against the fleshly nature. You don't have to give in. You don't have to be defeated. You can be victorious. And this is where it goes. That 5% or that 10% perhaps at times you find that you're not living for Christ. That 5-10% can be transformed when you realise that you don't have to give in any longer. You can be victorious. As verse 12 so powerfully puts it from our reading. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You don't. It doesn't say that you'll never face temptation, because Jesus faced temptation. If he faced temptation, we will too. But you don't have to give in. You're not obligated to give in. You can fight the good fight. Allowing the Holy Spirit control over your life is a daily choice. Our sinful nature will always be there to try and tempt us with our old ways of life. It always will be there. That is, of course, until we get our heavenly bodies once Jesus restores all things. Then we're good. But before that, there will always be, while we live in this sinful world, we'll be constantly challenged with temptations, with our old world lives, but we don't have to give in. We can choose to put to death. And it sounds quite strong, doesn't it? Put to death. But that's exactly what it is. Put to death your sinful nature is a practical thing. It is a hard thing, it's a painful thing at times, but it's very much necessary. It's something we should do at the start of every day. And you do it not by yourself, but you do it with His help. That's the beauty, isn't it? It's that God doesn't say, well, you need to give up your sinful nature, but you need to do it all in your own strength. He realises that we, in our weakness, we give in, but we don't have to. Because we have the Spirit of God living in us. So every day when we wake up, we can make the choice to die to self. I wonder how many of us, when we wake up in the morning, that we say a prayer that says, God, I know I'm going to face temptations today. I know that I'm going to really want to give in, and you might be specific about what that is. But help me to fight the good fight. Help me to be controlled by your Spirit, not by my sinful nature. I wonder how many of us do that on a daily basis. I guess the question I have for us, for you and for me, is why don't we? Because sometimes it's at the end of the day we go, well, we've done this, God, and He's gone, yes, I know, I'll bring you the forgiveness you need. But you didn't even ask me to help you. And the problem is we get so desensitized to the world that we live in, so desensitized to sin that we just let it happen at times, or let the temptation, and we wonder why we give into it. But if we come at it and we fight and we choose to die to self every day with God's help, I believe we will see something amazing happen. Verse 8 says, if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. In Colossians 3, verses 5 to 8 and 10 says it this way. Put to death, therefore, that is what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you were too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. You've been bought at a price. You're not the person that you used to be. And that's a good thing. You need to die to self every day. Don't mind whether you've been a Christian for 4 decades, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Whether you've been a Christian for 10 minutes or 10 years or 10 months. We need to die to self. So in conclusion, who's in control of your life? I guess only you can really answer that question. Are you in control and allowing the sinful nature to have its way? Or have you given it all over to Christ? This question is of extreme importance. It could be the difference between a life of joy, peace and fulfillment and a life of disappointment, anguish and pain. A life led by the Spirit will not be perfect, because the reality is we are not perfect. We will make mistakes. We may at times give in to our sinful nature, but if we genuinely repent and ask for forgiveness, we have a God who will keep us on the right track and make Him more like Himself. A life led by the sinful nature is not what it seems. And I don't get it at times, because I think we're all like it. That somehow we think if sometimes we give into our sinful nature, that somehow it will be different the next time. And that's like the definition of insanity, isn't it? Doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different outcome. Sin is sin, it leads to death. It will never have a second outcome. It will always have the same outcome. And that's what we need to remind ourselves about. If we happily choose a life of sin in thinking it doesn't matter, it will eventually catch up with you. The world and its pleasure can seem exciting and fun, but it's dangerous. You can become desensitized to sin. You'll no longer feel guilty. You'll make excuses for your decisions and you'll open yourself up to a world of compromise and pain. What path will you choose today? Who will you allow to be in control? My prayer is you'll choose to let God take control. It's never too late for any of us to do a U-turn. Whether we're in this building, whether we're listening to this online in the days to come. Don't wait until you hit rock bottom, but rather come to Christ and allow Him to alter your course. Choose today to lay your passions and desires of your sinful nature to the cross and crucify them there. Let's choose today to follow the Spirit's leading. Allow Him to have control over not just 95% of our lives or the bits that we want Him to have control over, but let Him have control over every bit, even the bits that you struggle with. And I guarantee when we do that, we will see that there is hope, that there is life, that there is purpose, and there is change. Let's pray together, shall we?